Run me aground and salvage my booty. It's the Art of Fantasy podcast.
That is a good one. He was right. He was right. Yeah, yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah. Do it again.
Run me aground and salvage my booty.
It's even better the second time.
It's even better. Thank you so much for that, Paddy Jervis. On the left.
Yeah, hello. I'm on the left. And I'm on the far right.
Oh, I am on the far right.
Yeah, Zach's on the far right. And Liam, our dedicated sexist.
You know what? You know what? If we're going to start like that, flags aren't racist.
Right, okay. Yeah, exactly. Liam, what have you got to say that will lose
I am not getting involved in that hot potato that's immediately being put in the bin where it belongs.
Yeah.
It's where I put every baked potato I've ever made.
Unfortunately, it's so hot that it set the bin on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And now, Laurie are confusingly political, but, you know, he thinks free education and free guns.
And you know what? If we teach the kids how to shoot right,
then they'll stop shooting. Yep.
No, they'll shoot the right people.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, exactly. We're building a military. Welcome to our fantasy.
It's you can tell, you know, the state of the country by the febrile energy that comes to these. But it's the end of summer, boys.
Yeah,
it is.
Now it's not as warm, but still quite warm.
No, wait, no, don't tell him. What comes after summer, Laurie?
The other one.
Yeah. Pride. Big one.
Well, wait. I would say that it would be autumn, but like all the leaves have already fallen off the trees. Yeah. Has anyone noticed that? That's scary.
Well, that's because...
Because it's too hot.
It's been too hot, yeah. We just had a drought. Yeah.
So that's fun, isn't it?
That's good, isn't it?
I dug a pond during the drought.
He dug a pond? Stamp duties that... in the news? it's exciting stuff, isn't it?
Approaching our 40s.
Liam sent me a voice message about his pond. And
were you allowed to dig a pond, by the way, or did you just kind of go for it? Where did you dig a pond?
He dug it in a road, a main road.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose technically it's a pothole, but if I call it a pond, it'll eventually fill with water and fish. Yeah.
You have to put stuff in it, don't you? And that's what we were both surprised by.
Yeah.
Other than
what
water.
What do you mean?
It's not just water in a pond. It's all sorts.
Well, I mean, number one, shut the fuck up. It is just water. That is what a pond is.
This is what we've learned.
No. You've got to put
what, newts? You've got to put newts in
krill.
There as well. You've got to put a functioning ecosystem.
Yeah. Cucumber and lemon.
So you have to put, you have to put gravel or what? The fucking pond authorities will come around. That's not a pond, mate.
Don't mess with a pond cop.
It's super weird. It's although... It is something to do with the actual, like, the water table under the ground. It's like a planning commission that you're not supposed to be impacting the natural water table.
So it's what you've got, a paddling pool.
Like an extra water body on top of something that wasn't there before.
Right,
I'll tell you what. What he's saying here, I've never heard before, but it sounds very legit. Maybe I have dug an illegal pond.
It's just far-right conjecture, Liam. Don't worry about the water table. Yeah.
I think the size...
Coming over here.
Classic NIMBY stuff.
Another route for the small boats, is it?
I think that is like if you're making like a really big pond or a moat of some kind. I imagine your pothole / puddle didn't require planning permission.
How big is your pond?
That's a very personal
your
question.
Pond, yes. How big is your pond?
Don't know what he's referencing, but I'm enjoying it.
It's about you don't actually want to know. Do
I do.
You?
I want to see this pond. What's in it?
Gravel. We've established that.
Gravel. Okay. Gravel. Water.
Yeah.
Delicious.
No, actually, before it's smoked, it's called salmon.
God.
It's very good.
I knew that would work on Paddy.
Yeah, exactly. Pop some dill in that pond.
I basically have. I had to go all the way to Broadstairs to get some oxygenating plants.
Why Broadstairs?
I mean, that is a good question.
Yeah.
Because they're the most English oxygenated plants you can get.
Yeah. Ooh. Right. The Thanet and constituency.
Yeah, what? That's Farage's one, isn't it?
Yeah.
One. What's the one they put a child in charge of?
Well, I mean, I know Nicola Sturgeon's small, but Scotland. there
was one. Isn't one of the fucking...
You're talking about medieval France?
No, one of their leaders.
Pliny the Younger.
That's the thing. It's like, one of the leaders in the Reform Party or whatever. Like, they were.
It's
it was like a 19-year-old. He's be removed from.
Is he the one immediately gone?
Yeah, because they keep putting in places, and then like it comes apparent that like you know. Running a district of any kind is quite complicated.
Then he got ID'd.
And every time he's gone there, they'd be like, oh no, he's bad at this. And like, well, yeah, obviously he's a fucking child.
Bonfire night's coming up and he wouldn't have been able to help out buying those.
That's true.
No, they realised a voice was coming from within his trench coat.
He voted twice.
Oh well, I'm all of our listeners obviously tune into this for you know, the latest
for the politics.
News.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm glad we gave a good update. We've had a nice summer holiday though, which I was coming around to. Was really so. Yeah. Liam's built a pond.
Yeah,
Zach's.
I
got into politics.
I got served. Yeah, just discovered politics.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I got served notice on my flat, and then I found a new flat.
It's my pond.
I was homeless for a bit, and now I'm moved into a place, and all my stuff's everywhere. And it's and I.
He's handling it really well, isn't he?
I'm glad that we're around the table, because actually, you know what, listeners, you can do this. I'm so rootless right now. Like, it's so fucking terrible when everything you own is just a pile in a room that you don't like. Well, but it's bad.
It's bad.
Real bad. My summer's been great.
I've had a great day.
And Pads, how are you? What's ailing you?
Nothing's ailing me. I have a job.
Touch some words, please.
15 years. Yeah, no, I've had a lovely summer, but I'm working on a play, and it's really good.
Yes.
And I noticed that Zachary's the only one who's been to see it.
I have been to see the play. It was all right.
Yeah, it was fine.
it was really good. Really, really good. I had a lovely time.
And to be fair, you were both unwell. So
I've also seen it like
you
many
have seen
times.
It, yes. So many times.
I'd only seen it once before, to be fair.
Yeah. But we had a lovely
time.
I
had a great time.
I'll be there.
I was going to be in the play.
Yes. So Zach sat down late.
Should we tell everyone what the play's called?
The play's called Every Brilliant Thing.
And it's on at the Soho Place Theatre.
Yeah, by Tottenham Court Road. It's on for another 2 months when you're hearing this episode. We've got Lenny Henry. We've got Johnny Donahoe. We've got Sue Perkins. We've got Amber Kamod. We've got Minnie Driver. And most importantly, me.
Pads. And you get out and do a bongo solo on your butt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's really cool. It's very, very expensive.
It's good. It's really... It was going to be... Yeah, it's a very... If you haven't... Obviously, I'm now plugging it for some reason. But no, genuinely, it would go... It's very life-affirming,
yeah.
I would say. It's a really lovely little watch.
But if you come along, sit down early if you want to be in it, because we were going to cast Zach as one of the roles.
So that was what I was going to say. I was going to be in the play. I was going to be one of the early roles that get... So basically, people from the crowd kind of get picked out. It's a one-man show, ostensibly, but he will help certain people play... secondary characters for the narrative whilst during the show, and that's part of it. It's part of the experience.
Yeah.
And I was told after the play that I would have been one of the characters. And I also had a really embarrassing moment like before that, where Paddy was on stage and I thought he'd seen me because he was looking like directly at me. And I thought he was going to cast me, but then also I thought it was just waving. Him and Lenny Henry are on a stage looking directly at me and waving. It turns out they weren't. They both, neither of them knew I existed. They were actually waving at the like tall black man sat next
Lenny Henry's
to me.
Brother was sat <next to me. laughs>
And I and so like, and I'm there with my like girlfriend as well, just being like, I know these guys. Paddy, what's going on? And Lenny Henry makes his way through the crowd, and I'm genuinely sat there being like, Lenny Henry's gonna chat to me.
Holds his fist out for a fist bump.
Like, it was the equivalent of that. I think I genuinely pretended to wave for longer than the conversation, because Lenny sat down to it, and I was like, hold eye contact with Paddy and pretend you're waving at Paddy, and then Paddy fucking turns around and walks off.
I thought Zach hadn't made it, so I was scanning the crowd for him, and was like, well, fuck.
I was there, and you were looking at me.
And I thought I'd got in front row seats, and there were conspicuously two empty front row seats in the whole of the theatre, and I was like, fuck, he didn't make it. I was like, maybe I can radio front of house and say, we are allowing latecomers today, like, I really want to get him in. He was there the whole time. I just ignored him.
Yeah, the whole time. Also, I mean, it was almost really late because, you know, fun bit of the moving saga drama. I was literally phoned seconds before I was supposed to be going into the play by my flatmate of him and I having packed up the remnants of our house to then put into storage to then be homeless for a period of time. We'd done that, spent 10 minutes on the phone with the storage place being like, you close at 6 p.m, right? But we can get in with the app and all this. And she was 100% like, yeah, 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours. Christian was like, I'll do it. You go to the play. Have a great time. Blah, blah, blah. Seconds before the play, he's just there being like, no, it's fully shut. Like, this is like...
Oh, God.
He's like, and then I'm there, he's like, what do we do? And I'm like, I don't fucking know. I'm about to be sober. I'm about to go and enjoy a nice
evening. My mate Lenny's just waving at me. I've got to get back to you.
I've got to get back to this.
Damn, that's a
stressful. How about you, Laurie? How's your summer been?
Yeah, fine. That's all I have for it.
Wow, that's bleak.
I've just been working loads.
You've been working a lot.
But I also went to my favourite festival, Green Man Festival.
Yeah.
I went with loads of babies this year. My friend's babies.
Our
not
lives
just random
have changed.
Babies.
Yeah. No, they were random babies.
They were random babies I just picked up. I was just like, come watch this band with me. Come watch Wet Leg with me. You know, the thing I'll do about wet legs. All right, babies?
Yeah.
Show made me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we've all had a wet leg. That was nice. No, it's just summer stops being fun right, and starts being an endurance test.
And then he goes back to being the inexorable march towards the grave, you know.
Like, yeah.
I swear we used to be able to deal with it, though. Like, I have definitely noticed on our older age, you said we sat down, we've talked about your pond, mortgages, the news that we saw about tax evasion.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, festivals this year. You went to Green Man with two of our mates that have had babies.
Yeah. It really put it all into perspective. Although I distinctly remember every time we sit down and record this podcast and it's hot, we complain about it.
Yeah.
That's my main memory of summer, is playing D&D in increasing states of anxiety and anguish. Yeah.
And undress.
And undress. Well, including the very first game of D&D I played with Paddy and Zach.
Oh, God. That was
Was stressful and I think led to the breakdown of several relationships.
Yeah. A lot of relationships ended that day.
Listeners, no idea what your circumstances are, but one way to really quickly turn a girl off you is to invite her to play like D&D with your mates. Spend time convincing them that it will be fun, because it's just, you know, it's just chat, make believe. We're having a good time. We got 2 hours in. I mean, obviously you're still with Benny. Well, but I mean, Benny got to the point where she turned over a character sheet and was sketching.
Yeah. All you've got to do is put a puzzle involving some kind of urn. And it allows people to argue long enough that it ruins your future.
Also, you used the word puzzle super generously there. Laurie basically created a thing which was just like, match the urn with the like emblem of, say, fire on it.
Yes, with the fire.
The red
with a helpful
square.
Poem.
Yeah, and that maybe the heat had something to do with
it.
That was a genuine 2 hours of like deliberation. What do we do? Everyone was terrified we were going to, like, if we failed the puzzle, Laurie was just going
to
kill
everyone. Well, we just went too hot. We were like, poetry. Larkin, lark, birds, the air.
Wish we'd recorded it, because it would make a fantastic.
That was when we thought like D&D had to be kind of like strict fantasy nerd vibes.
Yes.
And everyone was a high elf and doing that. And it was, we very quickly learned.
Yeah.
It's better when it's dumb.
Yeah.
Because inherently quite dumb.
I also like the setting for it was like an industrial city where the elves were
kind
like
of steampunky,
weaponizing magic, and it was all about a big company.
Yeah.
And I was like, these guys would get that this is stupid.
Yeah.
And no, you took it very seriously. I was very impressed.
Well, because we were trying to impress girls. Apparently, that's what we thought at the time.
Yeah. What they're going to really, what's really going to actually get turn them. These girls on is us really dedicating,
committing
to the bit, yeah.
Especially when they'd all opted to not go to a pub garden on the hottest day of the year.
Listen, guys, why do you think I do this podcast? It's for the chicks. It's really not. No, I can't even joke about that. Right, let's get on to the main event, which is really going to get all of our listeners hot under the collar.
Wow.
Yeah. No?
Yeah.
Is that the right energy?
We could do a sexy episode. We could commit now.
I don't want to do a sexy episode.
Well,
I'll do one.
How?
Well, I guess we're at odds.
Paddy, unbutton my jerkin and let's dive in.
Wait, I tell you what, you be sexy and I'll be unsexy. We'll see if you can turn me sexy by the end of the episode.
Right, okay, that's my goal. All right, Leon, what's your stance?
I think I'm just going to be mildly flirtatious.
Great.
So I'm going to play the field, basically.
Oh, right. That is quite
such
sexy.
A centrist answer. That's
quite a sexy thing to do. Yeah. And Laurie,
sexy centrist.
You're with
Well,
me on sexy.
I'm the dungeon master, so I will be administering the gimp masks.
Right.
Wait, does that make you the sexiest or completely asexual?
No, asexual. I'm strictly here in an administrative capacity.
You're Louis Theroux.
That's interesting. Tell me more about what you're doing. And you get pleasure from that, do you?
You seem to make a lot of porn. Do you enjoy it?
I think we started the last episode.
We've done quite a lot of
We're never far away from a Louis Theroux impression. All right, boys, should we go for it?
Yeah,
should we do it? Yeah, let's get into it. All right.
Finally do it.
Teddy, we'll start with you. You slowly regain your senses. Do you remember the last thing that happened to you?
We spoke about it. But you know that I don't remember what happened in the last episode. I was part of it. It wasn't that long ago. I listened to it back, and I still forgot what Paddy did at the end of the last episode.
Why are you such an arsehole asking him hard questions?
Laurie spent
like
hours making these curtains to put over the podcast, and then you're like, "Out of windows, mate." Yeah, I don't know what you're on about.
I remember we had a big altercation
with the Giants.
Last thing you remember was being knocked overboard from the Duskstormer following that altercation. poor old Duskstormer took an absolute battering. The three of you took an absolute battering.
Yeah.
But now, as I say, you regain your senses. You can feel wind on your face. It's a taste of blood and salt on your tongue. And your body is awash with pain, as if you've been kicked in by a bunch of football hooligans. Your eyelids flicker open slowly. Even that is painful in the glare of a scorching midday sun. You rouse yourself, you move slightly, you can feel the sun burning your skin, which is dried out and crusted with salt as well. You push yourself up, and you see you're splayed out on a barren, rocky shore.
Castaway.
Waves lap up behind you. Well, the storm has passed. A small football? No, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do Wilson. The only,
I'm glad it was seconds that it was seconds that you did that though.
The only friend you have is that small presence in the back of your mind.
We're all still thinking football, aren't we?
As you look,
my name is Wilson.
A coconut to your left, you hear a low laughter. Well, you survived the storm. Now you better make something of yourself.
Oh, God, humbly. God, not today.
God, the coconut does not reply.
Okay, wait, so I'm assuming...
There are
so
coconuts the, here. This is not voice... a tropical island,
okay.
To be clear.
It's not a tropical island. Okay, tropical it's a small barren. Barren.
Take a look around.
I look around. I want to clarify a few things. So when you say I'm fully alone, do I still have Joe Tiden? Was not actually his name. We talked about that.
The artist currently known as Joe Tiden.
Joe Tiden. There have been too many fantastic names to limit. Yeah,
you push yourself up and you feel a little wet presence on your shoulder, and there he is, Joe Tiden.
Hello!
You've grown Paddy's head out of your own neck. Not Glitch, Paddy's head.
Oh, thank God. Oh, God, it's great to see you, Joe. All right.
Agreed.
Still don't speak it. I'm the two guys aren't around.
No, you can see it's a very sparse landscape. It's more rocky than it is sandy, this shore. There are these kind of sheets of dark grey rock that seem to kind of slide down into the sea, very angular. There's no plant or animal life. There is flotsam and jetsam. And Liam reminded us of the difference between the two last episode, I believe. From the Duskstormer all around, you can see crates, planks of wood, and in the shallows of the water, a few bodies sort of washing and being nudged up on the rock here. No sign of Vatic, no sign of Glitch.
Can I check the bodies?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, give me an investigation check. Have a little rummage.
A little rummage. The first homage. Of the day. It's a four.
It's a four.
Start as you mean to go up.
Fucking, it's annoying,
isn't it? You've got no pluses for investigation.
Actually, I might be.
You're a clever boy.
I'm not,
change it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
A fail's a fail.
Yeah.
Any plus? Sorry, any no big pluses then?
No.
I imagine you probably get close enough to one of these bodies and then you just get a bit icked out. You're like, oh, no, I'm not touching that. Oh, it's all a bit puffy, slightly like inflated by the sun already. Oh, no.
Oh,
but it just seems to be the form of one of the crew of the Duskstormer, maybe one of the mercs. You can't really tell.
Yeah.
But it's not like there's a shipwreck here. There's just some stuff, right?
Bits and bobs.
Bits and bobs. Flotsam and jetsam.
All right. Well,
one of the bobs. Yes.
Nice. I reckon I
bits of bombs.
So I'd like to. I mean, you said there's flotsam and jetsam. I tell you what, I'm gonna. I'd
Speak
like
to jetsam first.
Yeah,
jetsam's
I think so.
A more interesting character. Yeah.
I tell you what, I want to. Can I roll an investigation again just to see if I can make out if anything would be. I don't know what's in store, but like useful or valuable within that flotsam and jetsam.
I think what you need is a survival check, my friend.
Oh, a survival check?
Yeah.
Have we ever done a survival
check? Two rolls to get to looting, Zach.
Yeah.
Always.
Failed the first loot roll.
Kind of talking axe.
There's not like a glimmering treasure chest that you're passing over here.
Oh, you know what though? I have got a plus in that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, fuck's sake. It's 2 + 4.
Oh dear.
6. Fucking hell.
Oh good, your friends have arrived. Yeah.
No, well I think with that survival check, you're like looking around being like, surely something will make itself apparent for me to use and be useful. In the back of your head, you remember. I imagine this is a Teddy memory rather than a... Draka would, of course, be all over survival in any situation, right? Mm.
I think it's completely within character that Teddy, that version of my personality, or kind of he is not for this.
Yeah,
it's a shame, really, because you might have found the other three quarters of the dice that you seem to never find.
And he is rolling a d20, I can see.
It's a d20. What's fucked up as well is that I literally rolled once before we end. I mean, that was the roll that we've done in game. I rolled once to be like, oh, this is how you roll that, just before we sat down.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah, 20.
Cool. Never seen it.
Yeah.
And there is a half memory, I think, from... I imagine Teddy was absolutely the kind of kid who went to scouts, right? You know what I mean? Like, his parents are like, please go and do something constructive. And you remember the three things you need in any survival situation: food, water, shelter.
Yeah.
And you look at the stuff here and you go, well, that's none of that.
Cool.
But you do know that that's what you need, those three things.
So there are no wobbles either.
That was going to be that was going to be something that I was like, I thought, I'll do this and it'll be smart and it'll set me up for help for the next couple of... whatever this Teddy castaway
is
going to be. But then, all right, so that failed. I'm going to explore the island.
I love that. Okay. Well,
one roll. Explore the island.
Wait, you said it was like a small, barren...
This shoreline you're on.
Oh, okay, is there a high ground?
If you look to the rest of this landmass, there is indeed high ground. Some very kind of sheer cliffs. You can see the shoreline extends quite a long way both ways as well, so you could probably go along the shore or you could try and attempt to climb up this sheer rock face. Other than that, very little sign of life or kind of any indication of where to go.
I mean, it's got to be a long walk. I mean, I've got 3 hit points and I imagine I will fall based on rolling a 4 and a 2.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you're going to walk. I'm just going to make you choose east or west.
West.
Okay. Then in which case we'll come back to Teddy in a bit. Votic.
That was
10
that
episodes.
Was,
time.
What?
Honestly, meanwhile, on the eastern shore.
I genuinely think I am dragging the narrative. Like, we could have finished this.
No, but
my job is to put problems in front of you, though.
No, yeah, I know, but that,
yeah,
but
I'm doing it, not you.
Yeah,
your job is to overcome them.
Overcome the obstacles. I like. You must have had to make so many allowances for, like, it'll be cool. This bit will be cool. No, it won't.
Rolling badly is more interesting than rolling well.
Absolutely.
I think
you say that to people that can't roll dice.
So Teddy drowns. What do we do?
Vatic,
you find yourself in a similar situation. Start with you come to, you sort of rouse yourself. You're in less bodily pain than Mr. 3 hit points over there. You've got a pounding headache and a ringing in your ears. And as that sound, you know, that inner bodily sound rings about your ears, you remember, yes, you did set off, your friend Glitch did set off a massive explosion.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you remember happening. You feel, a sharp pain in your midriff.
Oh.
It's the uncomfortable feeling of someone prodding you in your middle-aged tum with some kind of implement. You open your eyes.
Invasive. I sort of like murmur.
And you stare into 2 bulging silver black eyes that protrude from a bullet shaped head. And the prod comes again.
Oh.
A bullet shaped head.
Okay. Can I do a nature check to work out what this is?
You absolutely can. You may absolutely try.
Okay. I'm assuming that's
all I can think
the right
about
thing, right?
Is Mario Kart.
I'm quite good at nature.
Yeah.
Watch me fuck this up.
Bullet Bill.
Yeah, Bullet Bill. That's what I think.
That's an 8.
An 8. I don't think you would recognize this creature, but this, as you sort of, you know, get your wits about you, it is, I say bullet shaped, it is a fish head.
Right.
This is a fishy person. You can something about what was your roll? A 6, did you say? An 8?
8.
I think that's enough given your Underdark origins. This is also a creature of sort of dampness and darkness. And it's dressed in very simple clothing. It's, you know, humanoid, 2 arms, 2 legs, but it has a big fish head. And as it pokes you, it sees you open its eyes and it says, "What are you?"
Oh, so it can speak.
Of course.
I didn't say that out loud. Hi there. Where am I?
He prods you again.
Don't prod at me, mate.
Prod him back.
Who are you? Welcome.
I was on a ship. Well, I don't want to tell you. I didn't swim here, mate.
That's most.
He looks very puzzled. He says,
You should come back with me, I think. Up!
Back to Roger's sex palace.
And he prods you again. Up your cat. Come on.
Okay, I very slowly start getting up. What's your name?
My name is Magon.
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 My name's Vatic.
Vatic. Don't need your name.
Wow.
Have I got all of my... I'm not missing any bits, am I? Either physical bits or kit.
For the sake of convenience, everyone has got all of their kit. Teddy, maybe you would have found your sword and hammer and
shield.
Yeah,
let's go with that. Yeah, I decided... I mean, I didn't check or think about it. And
no, but for the sake of convenience, you've got your gear on you or easily found nearby. Perhaps your pouch is just sort of... this landscape is similar to the one described to Teddy, but you are a bit further away off the coast here. But yes, you have all your stuff.
My God, how did you see any other people wash up?
Other people?
His little eyes grow a little wider.
No. You know, where are they?
Oh my God, Liam's going to get eaten.
Yep.
I don't know, but I had two mates. Who were? I mean, there were about 50 other people, but only two of them I really
care
about. Two
are narratively interesting.
I a lot of red shirts. If you get that reference, you know.
my friends said other strangers on the island. Perhaps your friends?
There might be.
They're not very nice. Nasty.
Right. Okay.
Not my friends. My friends are nice.
Okay. Do you mind if I have a quick smoke on the way?
I find it very unsettling, but that you hold your health in such low regards. But no, it's fine.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is...
But I am going to take you to my Vipulgol.
To what?
To my Vipulgol.
All right.
He must see you. And perhaps we will receive a boon from Talos. Yes.
So I start rolling one of my, happy tabacky.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Things. I'm not gonna start blazing it yet. But I just want to know that I've got that on hand.
Ready to go.
So I follow him, but I'm just, slowly making this little roly.
Okay.
Lick it up behind the ear.
Great. Okay, so you're just completely going along with him.
Yeah.
He is kind of not surprised that you say yes to him. He's like, okay, here we go. And he sort of starts, he walks incredibly unsurely. He's got kind of really wide set legs.
How tall
legs.
Is he?
Huh?
How tall is he?
Probably about Vatic's height, actually. Yeah. I think they can... I mean, probably can get taller. You wouldn't know this, but this one is a small one.
Okay.
As you walk through this landscape, he says, "Yes, I take you to Vipulgol. He has a look, and we decide what to do. And perhaps Talos will give us boon.
Yes, very good, very good. You are a good friend. Yes.
Aye, good. I'm glad to hear
very
that.
Very good friend.
I'm looking forward to spending more time with you.
As you cross this landscape, similar to Teddy, very little plant and animal life you can see. Give me a quick nature check, though, as you're walking along. See what you can take
in.
Yeah,
I mean, it went so well last time. Mm.
It did, right?
That is a... Jesus, that's a nine.
A nine. Well, this will reflect the fact. Get them out of the way, lads. Get them out of the way. Bad Ross.
Yeah. You roll something in double digits.
Don't worry, mate. I'm going to kill all these fish.
I think you realize quickly that you don't think you can see any life until you realize that some of these rocky formations may be life in some capacity when a boulder that crosses your path becomes the subject of Magon's ire. He sees this sort of what looks like almost a perfect sphere of rock, and he says, "Oh dear, oh no." And he gets out his little trident that he was poking with the blunt end of.
Yeah, yeah.
And he uses the blunt end and goes, "Get away! Go away! Shoo!" And he pokes this rock, and the rock sprouts little spindly legs, and then and spindles away. He says, "Honestly, honestly, no respect.
I don't care for that one bit." What in the living hell was that?
It's Rockling.
A Rocklin.
Yes. They very, very annoying.
Oh, God.
You're in it now, mate.
Yeah, I really am. Actually, well, the interesting thing is, I don't know how much... I sort of feel like this sort of shit happens all the time in the Underdark, but obviously I don't actually have a memory of that.
That's true, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
So, like...
You could have done if you'd rolled a better nature check, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I might have been able to, like, tap into that. But I think there's this strange thing of, like, maybe, like, physically, like, maybe I don't have an I'm not having an emotional reaction of, like, fear and alienation. Mm. But on a intellectual level, I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. Well, as you follow this fellow along, he takes you up what looks like it's going to be a sheer cliff, but you actually see there's a very narrow path, sort of switchback path carved out of, you know, tools into the cliff face here. And he takes you up, and as he takes you up to the top of the island, you can see atop of this cliff rather, you can see a lot of the layout of this island, and you can see little specks in the distance of presumably more flotsam and jetsam. Mm-hmm. There's no sign, however, even without rolling, no sign of a dusk stormer or even on the horizon,
right,
anywhere near. You are on an island in the middle of the ocean, it seems to be.
Wow.
However, you're only looking one way, so, you know, trigonometry required.
I turn around.
You look elsewhere into the interior of the island and more of this jagged rock formation. You think you can see over that horizon. Maybe there's something else, but there's stuff in the way here. More of these rocks, more things disrupting your view.
Well played, island. Well played.
With that, we'll go back to Glitch. Hey,
hello.
You also come too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You feel very kind of slow and slovenly, and something's not quite right with Glitch. But you do feel something quite nice, a very warm embrace. It's hugging you. Aww. Nice and tight.
Soothing my monkey come down.
I was about to say, quick point of order. Are you still an ape?
No, I had to turn back to cast Fireball.
He did at the end of last episode.
Yeah.
And also being knocked out constitutes you losing
concentration
on the spell. And ooh, it feels really nice, that warm embrace, but ooh, actually it's a little bit tight now. And ooh, it gives you a little squeeze.
Is it therapeutic at all?
It has been up until now.
Oh, okay.
And you open your eyes and the world is completely topsy-turvy. You can see the ocean above you, sort of the ground.
The ocean above me?
Yeah, the ground beneath you. Ah, okay. And you realize pretty quickly that you're facing, you've got the ocean over one shoulder, and over this shoulder there's a cliff face covered in very hardy looking vines that are almost pitch black. Covered in green veins.
In green, what, like veins, like pulsating?
Not like pulsating, but just like you would do on any, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, not pulsating, but okay. Like sort of like veins in a rock formation.
Cool.
Oh, and it's got a bit tighter.
Okay. Can I? I hug back.
You try, but you can't. And as you look down, you see that those same black vines.
I'm being snuggled up by vines.
You're being snuggled up by vines.
Okay. Well,
the good news is,
Are you meant to panic?
I think so. Yeah, it's the same as like quicksand. You panic and you move as much as possible.
Yes, absolutely.
You've been given some good information. Teddy's nowhere nearby because you've been grappled.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm not within 10 feet of my friend.
This is what this episode is by using your own skills. It's a complicated puzzle.
Don't make it complicated.
So worry. Am I being sort of cobra'd or whatever it is?
It feels like it.
Okay, I try and wriggle free.
Okay, give me a strength check. Just a pure strength check.
Strength, okay. That's going to be a -2 for Jervis.
No monkey strength.
Two -2, that's a 0.
Wow, yeah, that ain't going to do it.
Okay.
Give me a constitution saving throw.
Constitution saving throw, fine. That's an 8 plus 1, that's a 9.
That is not going to do it. Okay. You take... Ooh, how does 12 bludgeoning damage sit with you?
I think I was on 21. No, not, well, I was a monkey for ages.
So you've gone back to your original...
Before I turned into a monkey, I was on 21 hit points.
Okay, yeah, that's what I'll be what you're on now, except minus 12 to that.
Okay, so that's 9.
And you are slightly hoisted up, realize, at this point.
So I'm upside down, right?
You are very much upside down.
Can I see any... Is there anything controlling the vines?
You can look around. Yeah, you see that it is just a big mass of vines.
Yeah,
they're kind of hanging from this cliff, but you wouldn't identify them as vines.
Okay,
like I say, they look more like rock.
Hello? Did they respond to me talking at all?
Teddy, give me a perception check.
Oh,
oh, all right, wait. Also, I'm gonna do this via the app, so just it's not. You guys, ooh. Phil.
Right. Hello, is anyone there?
Yeah, tell me, what else would you say? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think...
Let's just give me some...
18.
What you Vines? Vines!
Teddy, wait, you so hear, I can hear this. A far-off cry of... Vines! Hello!
No, I think in hearing that I would definitely run towards the sound. I think
I'm assuming I don't hit this.
You didn't even get to roll, my friend, I'm afraid.
I run as quickly as possible. Let's check for that. Are you gonna make me check?
No, this is, and it doesn't take you long. It's sort of just along the coast. There's like a slight rise here. And you see very quickly, it's kind of hard to make out because these vines just sort of like, from a distance, just appear to blend into this rock face completely. You wouldn't identify them as living things at all. But you see the little waxy head of Glitch popping out of them. He is entombed in these things. They are all around him.
How far away?
I think you are now 30 foot. 30
I,
foot away.
I get within 10 foot.
This has become the bane of Laurie's existence.
Yeah, it's such a good...
Unfortunately, this is the engulfed condition.
Oh,
which is a special monster attack. He was grappled, and then he got engulfed.
All right.
He is engulfed. You can see... It's like, you know when Frodo finds Sam and he's all up in the spider silk?
Yeah.
It's very much that sort of situation.
The other way around. Doesn't Sam find Frodo?
Is that what I said? That's what I meant.
Okay. Just correcting it.
Content.
We're on a D&D podcast. We gotta get that shit right.
Can I be honest? I appreciate it, Zach, because if I'd said the wrong thing, I would want to know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want you to sit there and let me say it.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I think the listeners thank you too.
Yeah.
I think so. We broke the narrative. I attack the vines.
You're just chopping at it with your sword?
I think well, axe. Do I have an axe? Though? No, I don't have an axe.
You've got a sword and a hammer.
The axe, I have a sword and a hammer. The axe, I still think about the axe that got away.
That's a good axe.
Yeah, just...
Your crazy axe.
I judge...
Your crazy axe wife.
That's
very good.
Lovely. Yeah, yeah.
I am... John L. Sword. Just...
She was a right battle axe, etc.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm assuming... not the bit that he's directly in, but wherever I think it might be coming from.
Well, we'll have to see how well you roll to see how that goes.
All right.
So roll me an attack. A straight up attack.
Let's do it on this. Here you go.
Don't hit me.
I know.
Thanks.
I think. All right. Actions. Longsword. +7, 18
Ooh, that's nice.
That'll
that's
do it. Nice. Roll some damage, my friend.
Okay, 1d8 plus... that's 4 plus 4, 8 points of damage.
Okay, the vines, if you could call them that, retract a bit. Glitch, you were about to be blinded and restrained and unable to breathe, but you're not those things. You feel the grip loosen. You're still caught up in it. But if Teddy activates his special wet boy powers, which I presume you would
I think
would
they're
be,
passive. I think they just activate when a friend is
then
grappled.
You might be able to wriggle yourself free a bit more easily.
Are these things, are they plant life? Can I, like...
Give me a nature check if you want to take these precious 6 seconds.
That's a nat one.
Animal, vegetable, mineral, who fucking knows?
Okay, does that count as my action?
No.
Okay,
I
right.
think I'm wrapped in hot dogs.
with the loosening from Zach's attack.
Sorry,
from
that's horrible. I just internalized that, being wrapped up in like tinned hot dogs. And
as they unspool from whatever unholy machine.
All that water all over you.
Can we maybe say that from 8 damage I can get an arm free?
Oh yeah, you can move within you're kind of held within a basket of vines.
Okay.
I'm
going to go over. I think with a one, I wasn't going to do this actually, but I'm going to go over the top because I'm panicking. I'm going to use my last big spell slot to cast Blight.
Oh, lovely stuff. Lovely stuff, Paz. Remind everyone, what does Blight do to a plant creature?
So it drains moisture and vitality from the target on a con saving throw. However, if you target a plant creature or a magical plant, it makes a con saving throw with disadvantage and the spell automatically deals maximum damage to it.
Yeah, great. I have failed. What's your...
Very
what's,
good.
I think I failed with an 11, your spell save DC.
Oh, it's definitely higher than that. Yep. I think it's a 16. I don't know. It's
16.
That's why I asked you guys to fill when I'm looking at the app.
Right, yeah. So I deal 64 necrotic damage to the vines.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
they
my
die.
God.
Yeah. Oh, they die.
I think it's...
Why do you have me chop it with a sword?
Well, because I need my hands free to be able to use the spell.
He doesn't have a magic Bluetooth headset. Right?
Yeah, yeah. I think it's like...
We should get those. That would be sweet.
You know, like some creatures, when they're threatened, they secrete... like you know those Fish. Poisonous frogs that like slickness on that. I think it's like a really
tree frogs.
Nick salt that they put in vapes. Yeah. I think it's like in certain states of panic, Glitch secretes a very high nicotine dosage sort of thing from all of his pores.
I wasn't expecting to feel someone well this episode.
Yeah, I think that sort of slides me. But in contact with plant life, that would kill lungs, let alone a fucking an orchid. Like so, so this thing wastes this thing for 64 damage.
Yeah,
64 damage.
64 necrotic damage.
Fucking wild.
I think you see Teddy. Like you've given you slash into this thing. The vines retract a bit, and then they just suddenly fucking. Vaporize almost.
Just sort of imagining just like just a blight spreading through the entire island.
Yeah, right.
The island is sinking.
Darker shade of purple. Like,
yeah, exactly. Genuinely though, like, I think I did
thousands
that.
Of birds.
Right, you're like my evil destroying sword.
That's exactly what I think. That was 100% me.
Yeah,
like that was. I hit the one, and I think as you fall to the ground, I'm like, you're bloody.
Like, thanks, unbelief, for yet another great win.
Glitch, you're bloody welcome.
I think it was probably you as well. Like. God, thanks, Teddy. Gosh, that was a close one, wasn't it? I was like clap off my hands and get myself upright. Do I fall
absolutely.
From my height?
Are you not high enough, less than 10 feet, so
okay,
you hurt yourself.
Okay.
But it's not dignified, but you don't. You suffer.
I poo myself on the way down.
You suffer social damage, but not real damage.
I think I've already got such low social collateral with Zach that that's absolutely fine.
Hi, this is exactly, but yeah. This is,
you can always go lower.
This is...
Yeah.
No,
I start digging.
But no, yeah, okay. So, I mean...
The two of you are
what
there.
What the living shit was that? Is it like going back into the...
You see the rot that you caused just sort of get sucked up into the vines that then start retracting up the cliff.
Does it reveal anything in the cliff?
Nope.
Damn.
More cliff.
More cliff. Okay. Well, we needed more cliff, so don't worry. I've solved that problem for us. Where's Wattic?
Oh, God, I thought it was with you.
Oh, no. And then I look to the vines. He's been eaten by vines. Almost certainly. He's so small. Maybe he's in the cliff. I look for a pickaxe. I'm really unwell.
I was going to ask, how are you feeling?
Very, very bad.
I'm also really bad, and I forgot, but I can heal. We should heal.
Oh, we should do that.
Lay on hands, purify, nope.
That means you've got to touch him in the private parts if
That's
you want to lay on hands. That's the only way you can heal him.
Okay, I'm going to apply 10. to myself. And I'm going to apply 10 to...
If you apply 10 to yourself, you go blind, Si.
Paddy as well.
Thank you very much.
We both
much.
Get 10 hit points.
That is rad. Thank you.
Wait, how many...
I just get 10 hit... Is that how healing works? Yeah. I don't think I've ever previously been healed.
Wait, it hasn't gone on to my... Oh.
No, well, Zach really should, you know... inhabit a Christian charismatic preacher and say, yeah, the Lord, I heal you! And then he lays hands on you and then you're healed.
I stand, now that I'm feeling better, I stand up, I start scraping off some of the vape juice into my vape and be like, God, can't let it go to waste. Can I look around?
Would you get a lay of the land?
Yeah, just because I feel I haven't looked around my surroundings yet.
Give me whatever you think that would be. Either perception, if you're just trying to pick stuff up passively, or if you're trying to find like a route or anything like in particular, survival.
No, I'm not looking for anything particular. I think it's just perception, just like, which I'm not fantastic at. But that is a 9 plus nothing. That is a 9.
What's your passive perception?
Oh, that is a my passive perception, as we all remember, is a 10.
So technically better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great.
I've had the life squeed out of
me. You basically get to the same place that what it got to just now.
Right.
Looks like an island.
Right.
You can't see the Dusk Stormer.
Right.
But you're very much aware you're looking in one direction, you guess.
Is there a coast? South. Am I by the coastline as well?
Yes. Yeah. So Teddy has just run basically along the coastline to you. You're up slightly, but then the cliffs are still effectively behind you. All you can see either side of you is more coastline that then sort of disappears, presumably round the corner, you know, away from you, right? You're kind of on a...
Is there anything floating?
You can see some little specks and bits, and maybe Teddy will tell you pretty quickly.
I just don't worry, there's nothing there.
I scoured the place.
There was nothing in the ocean. No one's there. I also couldn't find any dead bodies.
No corpses, no boat, no nothing.
Hot damn. It's odd.
Hot damn. I'm, am I wet?
I would say no. I think at this point you are so, other than the vape juice,
right?
You can probably work out you've probably been in the sun for quite a while. Midday, like I say, the sun right above you, beating down.
Right.
Yeah, you're getting the kind of, you know, two little stripes on your cheeks. Actually, Glitch, I imagine, hasn't seen much sun in his life.
No.
So maybe it's like full on sunburn immediately.
I need to get out of the sun. I need some kind of, is there a forest or is it just cliff leading up?
As far as you know, just cliff leading up.
Come on, let's climb.
I do think we should probably tackle the cliff, actually. You want to climb,
yeah.
Do you not have many spells that we could like maybe bounce?
Oh, actually, I've got a few minor spell slots left. I've got jump.
Okay. It doesn't help me, but that's fine.
If I touch something,
we could both jump.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd have to use two spell slots on it, but I think it's only a level one.
Also, can I just Misty Step?
Yeah, you absolutely.
If you've got spell slots, absolutely.
Yeah, I haven't used any spells.
You haven't gone for days. Yeah, you just use Lay on Hands.
Yeah, that was a spell.
Yeah.
Lay on Hands is a class ability, I believe. So that's not a spell slot. You definitely didn't use them up last fight. I guess you didn't actually. You're just doing a lot of running and stabbing.
I'm low on spell slots, but because jump is only a level one, so I have, I believe, two of mine left. Or I could take a arcane rest, but that would be... That'd be boring for
an hour, right?
Yeah, I think so. You touch a creature, that creature's jump distance is tripled until the spell out. How high up are we talking?
Let's say they are 30 to 40 feet.
We might at least be able to get to a ledge. I cast jump twice, once on me and once on Zach.
Okay.
Yep.
And I go, and I think follow me, and I boing.
I boing as well, I want to boing.
Boing boys.
Okay, boing boys. Yep. Here we go, boing boys. You propel yourself up the cliff. It's not even with your additional thrust. It's not enough to clear the cliff.
No.
But it gets you a lot of way up. And now you are falling towards, not to falling, but
grab
like,
on,
you're
grab,
yeah,
on
yeah,
cliff.
Yeah, grab, yeah. Grab
so
the cliff.
Give me an athletics check.
I hate that when you say we do stuff and then like in
and then you have to see if you do it.
See if we do it.
Now, Zach, I'm very bad at this.
You can do acrobatics, so that's easier.
I can, but is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you. Oh,
taking acrobatics. It's 4 plus 2. It's a 6.
Acrobatics. Wait, where's
I'm that? Falling. You can take athletics or acrobatics.
Oh, okay. All right, I'm going to take athletics then.
Yeah, you're good at shit.
Because I actually pressed deception.
That's how fitting.
Zach didn't jump. He waited to see how bad it would be. If
I did it. You know what, though? That was it's a 19 plus 7.
All right, you can have that. You can have that.
Six, whereas I got a 6.
Okay,
so I have to catch him.
Well,
can I catch him?
We can see. Teddy, you see a great handhold. You bounce right towards it and you know, there's no effort required. You effortlessly grab it. And as you do, you see Glitch almost face plant the wall next to you. Even though it's his spell, used to jumping like this at all. And he and I imagine says something like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, exactly. It's like you know when Wile E. Coyote runs off the edge.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Exactly.
Do you hold up a sign?
Yeah, saying, "Oh no!" as I start to fall,
and then all of your limbs fall slower than the other, like the foot
exactly,
goes,
like
and
sort of Kermit when he gets ragdolled.
So I catch him.
You'd like to.
I'd like to catch him. I think, I'm just
give me one more roll to see if you can catch him. I think I would take sleight of hands to represent you, like just being quick enough. Or I'll accept athletics again. Just give me another one.
I'm going to do athletics because that's the plus 7. Sleight of hand is a plus 0. Mm.
He's a birdie boy, not a.
Sorry, Paddy. It's a 3 plus 7. That's a 10.
Do you have to contest? No, I'm contesting.
Okay.
The laws of nature will contest.
I've been completely average. I've middle of the roaded, put my arm out. Do I grab him?
I imagine as I fall, when I get within 10 feet of you, I get really wet and then slip through. Oh, God!
Here's what happens. Teddy, even in this, with this time you've been afforded, you reach out to grab him and he slips through your fingers. Glitch, you fall for a second until a vine grabs you.
Oh, great. Okay.
Your old friend
Vines.
Your
old friend the grind. Tim Vines there. He goes, hey.
Here we go.
I let the vine grapple him.
Having a nice trip. And he, Tim Vine, no, the vine starts to pull you up. Brilliant. Wonderful.
Marvelous.
And then pulls you away from Teddy.
Oh, God.
And then starts to squeeze you.
Oh, good. I've been here before, Teddy. Don't worry. You know what to do.
Make a con save, please.
Oh, I start to die.
Yeah, I feel like even my anti-grapple powers don't really make much sense.
11 plus 1 is 12.
That's actually just good enough.
Oh, good. Okay.
You
right.
Do not get crushed. But yeah, you are moving now. He's moving past you, Teddy.
Up
the cliff.
I
grab on, Ted.
I just follow, I guess.
I jump.
Wait. So he's in a vine. Are they going up over the top of the cliff? Is that where the vine's coming from?
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, actually, fuck yeah. I'm actually just trying to... I'm going to grab Paddy again, but I want to kind of grab onto his foot and then be hoisted up the cliff.
Okay.
Can I do that?
I love that. Yeah, you can catch
still active as well. Like, you've got it for a minute.
Don't worry. When I get to the top of the cliff, there'll be some jumping.
Okay, I think we will leave the two of you getting hoisted up the cliff.
Jumping around.
Yeah.
Rub-a-dub-dub and thanks for the grub. And welcome to the Middle Plane with Laurie, the Dice Chief, warming your cockles with some irreverent and irrelevant chatter in the middle. Well, actually, it's a little less irrelevant than usual this time on the Odd Fantasy Podcast. This episode ends slightly abruptly, I'm going to say, because we ran into a bit of an audio difficulty at the end of our recording session, unbeknownst to us until we finished for the day. Well, long after we finished for the day. Although it would be quite funny just to pretend it never happened, / to play you the really horribly corrupted audio that came instead, what we're actually going to do is re-record that section next time on the podcast, which really means that you're going to be getting an extra 10 minutes in the next episode without even realizing. But did want to say something just in case you are slightly puzzled by the way that this episode ends. Luckily, it happened at quite a kind of opportune moment. But yes, we'll be finding more out about the predicament that our fellows find themselves in next time on the Art of Fantasy podcast, which, let me remind you, is every Fantasy Freaky Friday. Now we're back after our summer holidays. That's every fortnight, Fantasy Freaky Friday fortnight. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or your nearest and dearest podcatching app of choice. Be sure to leave us a review on there if you can. That's one of the best ways you can help us out. One of the other ways is, of course, visiting our Patreon, which is patreon.com/idlefantasy. From next week onwards, that is the 19th of September, we'll be putting out fortnightly bonus episodes just for Patreon subscribers. We've asked our Discord channel, if you want to find our Discord channel, there's a link in the show notes. We asked our Discord chatters what they would want to see from bonus episodes, and we are still taking ideas there. So if you have anything you'd really like to see any of the four of us do, short of the kind of stuff you'd find on OnlyFans usually, then do let us know, because we'd love to start collecting some ideas and giving you guys some bonus stuff for supporting us there. Discord is the newfangled way of doing things. If you want more traditional means, God, I can't believe email is now traditional. idlefantasypodcast@gmail.com, and of course on Instagram @idlefantasypod. We're going to be putting up some new videos and posts on there to go with some of the bonus stuff that we've got planned, so do keep your eyes peeled on there. We love you very much. Thank you for listening, and once more, look forward to an extra 10 minutes of bonus stuff that you should have got this week in next time's podcast. Lots of love. All right, Liam, you're with your friend Magon, the fishman. They do have an official name, but you don't know it. And
I'll be calling it whatever the official name is. I'll be calling them Murlocs.
And they, yeah, well, you have preempted the noise they make when they will inevitably attack you.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, sorry. And Magon, he has sort of been talking to himself the whole time that you've been walking together. He said, yes, Admiral Tethro, and V. Polgor, and yes, oh, yes, and Talos Bourne. Yes, very good, yes.
Do I know what this Talos thing is?
Give me a, this may give the game away, give me a religion check.
I mean, I don't think I'm tremendously good at religion, so we'll see how this goes. I mean, that's a serviceable 13.
Oh, okay, serviceable 13. Excuse me. Didn't know we were dealing with a fucking pope over here. Yeah,
I decided to more positively frame my slightly average roles in the hope that I sort of like garner more.
I love
sympathy.
It, yeah. It worked. Because
that's not fair. It doesn't work for me.
You don't roll good enough.
Oh, it's a respectable four.
Out of 20, four is enough.
Yeah, first percentile.
Listen, I'll just, you know, I'll react to any editorializing with whatever it deserves. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
You can't pull the wool over my eyes that easy. 13's fine. That's what I'm saying. It's good enough for you to recognize the name Talos. Talos is a god. He is a storm god. Not Umberly, obviously. I think with a 13, you would know that he is generally worshipped, and I don't want to insult our new friend Magon, but generally worshipped by slightly kind of more primitive societies.
Okay.
Bit of a kind of ur-god, the kind of like real, like the essence of the storm.
Yeah.
Rather than having a very developed kind of place in the pantheon, right? One of the kind of older gods.
Yeah.
And I think you would know enough to know that, like, kind of a dick, right? Known for being capricious and angry.
Like a classic Greek god kind of vibe.
Exactly. Or maybe even a titan. That kind of vibe.
Okay, fine.
Like, but yeah, exactly that kind of vengeful, unknowable.
Petty.
Okay. So this is, I need to have my wits about me, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Good.
Great.
Are you doing anything on this journey? Just going to be following Magon to where he's taking you?
Yeah, I think I probably have to at this point. What was the name of the... Actually, I'll ask in character. What was the name of Ymir that we're going to come go and see?
Oh, no. I wish. Oh, I wish it was my friend. V. Purgol, the big chief.
Aye. So what's his whole shebang?
Well,
he kind of looks at you with a sort of incredulous look of, what? Why does this prick not know this? Like, this is obvious to everyone.
Well, V. Polgar, he is the closest one to Talos. He, along with the 9 Org Puglapukun. Let me try again. Org Puglupan. Thank you. Very good, yeah. Very nice. Form the Sunken Council. And they tell us what to do, what to wear, what to eat, where to live, everything.
What to wear is that's extreme.
Yeah.
You notice now he's wearing just like a little cloth, loincloth, right? Not much else.
Great.
Oh, but they're close to Talos. They, of course, they tell us what to do.
And it's further inland, then?
Yes, all of our... Well, you may meet all of our people.
We've jaded Wotik so much that he's just like, fine.
Like, yeah, he's broken.
Give me your weird fish guy. I don't fucking care. Like,
but yes, there's Vipurgol, the Org Purgupan, and, oh, of course, the Bal Purgol as well.
They all sound amazing. at this point, I think I probably am getting slightly more concerned. Where I'm being led, it's it's fairly easy to... I could get my way back out at this point.
At the moment, you've basically just ascended the cliffs and you're now on, you know, on the kind of up a little bit on this island. You see this rocky scenery continues. Like I said, it's very jagged. It's unlike... I tell you what, the best analogue I have for it, Giant's Causeway, right?
Yeah.
Except it's not upright. It is at all angles. Okay. But that kind of angular, almost like columns,
right?
Yeah, sort of interacting in weird places. And I would say as time goes on, you move from sort of going around the edges of these in fairly open terrain to starting to kind of duck under a few of these columns. Mm-hmm. And actually it gets a bit more grown over.
Okay.
You seem to be going a little bit, not underground, but a little bit down.
Okay. I just want to make sure that if I have to make my way back out, I would probably be able
to. Do you have any means of doing that? Don't have a handy pocket full of breadcrumbs?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was wondering, was like, is there anything...
You've got pockets full of tons of shit.
I do have ball bearings.
Mm.
I don't know why, but it's on my list of things.
Famously
that I own.
Stationary or, items.
Maybe, have you got anything that you could potentially, like, have you chalk or paint or something that you could, like, mark your way rather than just chuck ball bearings down?
Set up an obstacle for us to follow you? Like a Home Alone-esque bullshit?
That's absolutely what would happen as well. We'd come to rescue you and, like...
I had paint cans from string precariously balanced along the side.
Paddy and I's final few hit points bludgeoning
you and
damage
I at the
from
moment
tripping.
Are the wet bandits as well. Like.
I mean, I think thieves' tools involves like thread, so I could.
Yeah, I'm happy for you just to kind of for it to be some kind of junk
try and
you
set
have.
Down a trail.
I think actually I'm going to go simpler than that. I've got a little dagger, and I think I'm just going to be as we're going along. I'm following slightly further behind. I'm just nicking trees and rocks just as I go.
Very few trees. It is mostly
thanks.
Rock here. No, well, you know, I made a point of this. Yeah. It's a barren landscape.
Yeah, it's a good thing we're so true. Perceptive.
Yeah, it's true. Like all of that flotsam and jetsam. Yeah.
But okay, give me a survival check to kind of preempt how easy this trail is to follow.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Okay.
And we'll try and bear in mind.
We really go a long way around about things, don't we?
Yeah, we got it.
I mean, that's a 2, so that's terrible.
That's going to be tricky.
This has been grim. You've had the highest roll today, Zach. That's bad.
Yeah, and that was only because I rolled the wrong thing first.
Yeah.
He tells you a little bit more, you know, as the journey goes on and you're trying to nick things on. He says more about Talos as you showed a little interest.
Talos, we worship him and he brings his minions and they bring us good things. Very good things. Wash up on the shore like you. Very good thing.
So am I like one of Talos's minions then?
No, you, he's like, you wish. No, the minions live in the sea, okay. And they come up and they bring good things here.
Are they like giant sort of squid-like things?
Maybe.
I think
Talos has lots of friends.
Yeah, friends in low places, I get it.
Well, they bring the boats and the people and the stuff on the boats.
Oh my god, are they the fucking... Is it the elementals?
Well, the elementals weren't the fishmen, but they could be...
No, but they could be the minions from the sea, though.
When Umberly told you that there was another force at play.
Yeah. Interesting.
Could have been Talos.
It'll be another 4 episodes before our characters figure that out.
Yeah, sure.
As the journey goes on, you go... You're not going deep underground here. There's no need to get Jamiroquai involved, but you are going slightly undercover... And after a while, Magon turns to you and says,
we are getting close. You must be respectful here. Hmm? Let me do the talking.
Put some trousers on.
let me do talking. You are not Kyoto. You do not, you know,
He looks at you like, come on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I go, absolutely. And I just like, I think I just double check that the old tabaki is...
It's secured. Firmly secured, absolutely right. Still there. And he takes you down this kind of nondescript, like I say, you're not quite a cave, but very much like lots of these rock formations sort of covering over in a dome. And he takes you down this winding path down a fairly steep slope. And suddenly you turn and see almost a huge basin in the rock here, mm-hmm. sheltered underneath a kind of roof. And within that is a huge pool of water that is, words, man.
Great.
What is it?
It's great.
It's real good.
It's real good. Yeah, the water is like sick.
It's so cool, man.
It's blue. Yeah. No, it's wet, like wet.
Oh, it's so wet. Yeah. Oh my God, it's wet.
Yeah.
This water is teeming with fish creatures like this fella. Most of them are in the shallows around the edge where you can see sort of rough little houses. You can see some little fish folk running around and splashing in the water.
I'm absolutely picturing Zora's Domain from...
Exactly, but it's gross. But it's not clean and like and towering beauty. No, it's like a fetid little fish den.
Oh, okay.
It stinks, for one.
It's a good job that that can't smell anything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, good news. And... the main thing that strikes you about the kind of activity you see here, number one is that they all are kind of, it all congregates around this pool. Number two, you can see, I think I'm going to use the word ziggurat, these like incredibly like not very structurally sound constructions around the edge of it, made of this same, what looks like the same stone material, but it's almost in organic shapes.
Okay.
And the other thing is, these creatures are like arguing and fighting and pushing each other until they see you brought by Magon. And Magon suddenly stands taller and he waves his little trident up and he says,
that's exactly what they say before they kill.
And all of the other little fish creatures go, and suddenly you are the center of attention. And he says, "Your secret, good friends. Yes, they're happy you are here."
I think I give a little wave.
Oh, and they love that, and they all start doing. They start giggling.
Yeah, they're all coming.
That's later.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
later.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's when the ritual starts.
Yeah, I haven't got my religion yet.
I actually think that
just your natural life before any sort of religion.
These guys love coming.
I actually think that Vatic would kind of like dig this.
Okay.
I think it sounds like there's some like Underdarky vibes to this place.
Is it also the first time you've also been like, you know, one of the taller ones?
Yeah. Oh, they're going to make him a god.
Oh, I really wanted to make him a god and for us to turn up.
And
be bigger, better gods.
Yes, I immediately disregard him.
And what follows, we're not going to go through all the ins and outs of this. What follows is Magon showing you and introducing you to various fish folk here. None of them speak common like Magon does. They might say the odd word of like, hello.
I think I do like the, the King Charles. He's like, lovely to be here. What do you do here?
And yes, they, every time you shake a hat, a claw, or you wave, they and they do it back to you. Clearly not a custom they have. Little ones will come up and they touch you and they go, and they're very intrigued by you completely.
Right. I think... at this point, Vartek has been so swept up in the excitement of all of this, he's sort of forgotten that it's a slightly dangerous situation.
Right. We need to find a cannon, man. Otherwise, this is going to get out.
And after a while, you are shown through to one of these ziggurat buildings on the side where it is enclosed. 9 fish folk, you can count them easily, dressed in robes, are huddled around another pool of water within this building on the edge of the bigger pool. Mm-hmm. And you are shown into there and they look you over. Some of them kind of they have their own tridents and they use it to kind of look at you, look in your eyes. Mm-hmm. I assume you let this all happen without any...
Yeah.
And then other fish folk come through with garlands of, you would recognize had you seen them before, the stony vines, which are inert and dead. And they lay them in wreaths around your head, marveling at your rocky skin and how it matches these. And there is a great deal of excitement here.
I'm loving this.
Yeah.
I think Bartek is absolutely loving this.
And after
I say it out loud, I'm loving this.
And Nagon says, "It is a true honor we give you, dear Bartek." Yeah.
Thank you so much.
No. Gonna eat.
They are gonna eat him, yeah.
And after a while, you're shown towards the pool in the middle of this room.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And they kind of all gesture and say, and Magon says, please, it would be our honor if you were to sit in the holy pool.
Okay, I think at this point, first of all, animal care to just step in with all my clothes.
Oh, yes. Don't worry. You won't be needing those much longer.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Okay, I think I'm going to... I think I take out the Tapmaster's blade.
Oh, very good.
And I'm going to just put that in first before I step in.
To get a little pH reading.
Get a little pH reading of what's going on with that water.
The Tapmaster's blade, remind me, will just tell you. Do you need to roll a check?
It basically tells me what the chemical, it's once per day. Mm. It tells me the composition of any elixir or potion or fluid.
It comes to...
come, it says. Holy come.
No, it is one word. And it hums in your grip and it just says, bouillon.
Right.
Okay. Says there's a lovely thyme, a little rosemary. No, but it's fishy, a fishy broth.
It's a broth, okay. Right. And it's presumably this is hot as well.
It's lukewarm at the moment. It's a pool in the floor. It's not it's very much I haven't tricked you into getting into a pot.
Yeah.
You say, barely tricked us. You just kind of told us to do a thing. We're blindly believing.
And you've done it. Yeah, you guys just done it. Well, let's leave it there then, as Vatek gets comfy in this very nice thermal bath with only a tiny bit of a fishy whiff to it. And you start to hear excitement among the ranks of Kuo Toa. Their voices start to merge into one. And the words become more discernible when you hear Vipol Gol. And this chant is also what you hear, Teddy and Glitch, as you bound up that cliff safely and assuredly. And you see the same sunken area in the jagged geometric rocks of this place, except for you that sound echoes and reflects off of all of these straight lines, and it starts to sound almost like the low rumbling of thunder. We'll be right back.